You want now? You want microphone? Yeah, let me explain it.
Déjame empezar. It is so wonderful to be together again, and especially at the beginning of this Sabbath day. Can you imagine what it was in the Garden of Eden when the sun set in the first Sabbath? Perfect. Perfect love, perfect peace, everything so amazing. And I pray that tonight we have perfect rest, that we have let go of the things that causes anxiety and all the rest. Before we start with the meeting tonight, I want to read something to you. How many of you know Janet Paige? Do you know who she is? Central California. So she was our president's wife. Okay, and they were invited to work at the General Conference in the Ministerial Department, and they travel all over the world constantly, often traveling from one time zone through several time zones, and they keep on going, and they go to wealthy places, and they go with dirt poor places, and they travel in trucks, and they sleep whatever. Well, I belong to her circle of friends that are prayer partners with her. So she let us know where they are going and what to pray for. And she was just in. Do you want to say something? I don't feel comfortable. She was in Iceland, and she was saying that the converts in Iceland are about not quite 300, and that there are about 300,000 inhabitants in the whole Iceland. And she was in a women's retreat. She had asked for prayer. And I believe that you're going to rejoice with her report. God bless so much. Thank you for all your prayers. And she's talking about the whole team. There was a lot of spiritual and emotional healing at the women's retreat. Several were going to others, asking forgiveness and making things right. One woman was late arriving and missed my first presentation that was my testimony about making things right with others and asking forgiveness. Believe it or not, she had a very hard time doing that. She shares openly that testimony. She said that God spoke to her in the car as she was driving to the women's retreat, and he told her she needed to ask forgiveness of a certain woman that she knew was at the retreat. And she answered to God, "Do I have to? It is so hard." When she arrived, the women were already in line to eat. She got in line too. And the woman in front of her turned around. It was the woman God had impressed her that she needed to ask forgiveness of. And the woman that was waiting already in line immediately said, "Oh, I need to ask you for forgiveness." And then she responded, "When I was driving, God just told me that I needed to ask you for forgiveness." They hugged and they cried together right there in the line. There were other women making things right with others, some calling on the phone to ask forgiveness. Some were still struggling, praying, and knowing that they should do it, but it was hard for them. Please keep praying for them. And if you need to make amends with someone, don't delay. Humble yourself and do it. I'm praying for all of you and your families. Janet Page. Isn't that precious? Do you enjoy that testimony? Yes. Have some of you gone to somebody this week to ask for forgiveness? That's precious. Anybody else? Have you felt impressed and moved by the Holy Spirit that you needed to ask forgiveness? Is it hard? Are you struggling? Hopefully between tonight and tomorrow, you can do it. Don't delay. Every delay is resisting the Holy Spirit. And we hear him less and less. So do it, the sooner the better, because this is a time the Lord has come to speak to our hearts. Well, tonight, the subject is two paths. And in truth, we know that there is only one path. But when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, please, the next one, could you give it to me? Thank you. And I pray swear. Okay. In the beginning, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And we have explained that that means that the nature of Adam and Eve was the same nature than God. They were not God. They were created. One was creator in God. We were creatures, right? But the mind of Adam and Eve, the heart of Adam and Eve, whereas the mind and the heart of God and the thoughts of God were in them, and the feelings and the will and the motives and everything was aligned with God, which was aligned with love. Well, and then we have the story about that God said, you shall not, you know, you can eat of everything that you want, of the trees, but that one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat. And then the temptation comes, and Satan makes sin very attractive to her, said, if you eat what? You will be like God. And he made her senses to be, wow, that fruit is desirable to be eating. And that's how Satan is. He always makes sin very attractive. And so he ate, she ate, gave it to Adam and Eve, and he ate. And instantly they experienced something. What is that? And they did what? And they were into hiding. So right there, a new path is open. One is the path of love, and the other one is the path of what? Fear. One is life, the other one is death. One is being open and real, there is nothing to hide. The other one, there is a lot to hide, and we fear to be real. And together we fear. There is shame. Very strong powers. And so they had confusion. Do we have confusion too? Yes. Because in hiding and fear and in shame, not being able to be honest, we experience confusion. Renee loves this. What do you see there? Have you seen it before? How many see an old woman? Uh-huh. You see a young woman? Okay. So some see an old woman and some see a young woman. How many of you see both? Okay, because probably you have seen it before. Yeah, no? Okay, so more or less, that's the sketch of what you would see there, the girl. That can help you now to try to identify it when you go back here. Do you see her now? Yeah? But your eyes go back and forth from the girl to the old woman. So there she is, the old woman. Okay, and now here, the young girl and the woman. Can you, most of you, see both now? So now we don't have confusion, right? Because we are able to see the two things. Now, when we are in sin, when we are in fear, when we are in darkness and in shame, we have one perspective of life, and we don't see the other. Right? We have lost the ability to love, to forgive, to be joyful, and so many other things. So now we have this sinful nature that is very confusing inside of us. And that sinful nature is death. God said the day you eat, you die, because the Holy Spirit left. And so we are physically alive, but inside we are dead. How many of you have felt sort of dead? Uh-huh. It's good to know that we are dead because we want to be resurrected, created all over again. Okay. And so we have these two paths. One is the path of fear and shame, and the other one is the path of love. And they are totally different. In the path of fear, we become how? We become defensive. And we have a close attitude. This is me. This is how I feel. This is how I am. And we defend ourselves. Our attention, our intention is to protect ourselves. Do you have that struggle? I do. Oh, tremendously. Oh, tremendously. In the path of fear, we don't take responsibility for what we are experiencing, for our thoughts and our feelings and words and actions and consequences, meaning this thought is wrong, I need to correct it and change it. We don't take responsibility, we excuse it. Do you excuse your thoughts? Do you? How many of you excuse it? Yeah. And we attack one another. And so we don't take responsibility. We are not humble. We are not honest. And we submit in relationships to others with one purpose. And this happens usually when children are small. They submit to the parents for what? Because they want to be loved. And the other time in life when this really happens is when you're dating. When you're dating, you give in. You submit. Why? Because you want to be loved. But after you marry, what happens? The wild beast comes up. Yeah. The real self, okay? So we submit to people to experience their love. But we are not submitting truly to Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. And we also control, demand, and manipulate with the purpose to be loved. And that happens usually when children grow up. The more they grow up, they become demanding, controlling, to manipulate, to get what they want. And also in marriage, we do that. Once we feel secure, well, now we are married, let's do it. We start controlling. And we control in different ways. There is the active controlling, the verbal controlling, and then there is passive-aggressive controlling that says, I'm not going to do what you tell me. Could you please clean the garage? Yeah, I'm gonna do it.
When?
Don't push me. When I feel like it. And a week goes by, and the garage is not clean. And so, my love, the garage needs to be clean. Could we do this together? And, well, I'm gonna do it. That's my territory. But when are you gonna do it? And it is not done. Are you pointing fingers there? Okay. No, I'm telling our story. Not telling you, but telling you. Okay? And so let's say after 6 months, the garage is not clean. And you get tired. And you think, well, this Sunday, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it myself. You can do it angrily, or you can do it lovingly and happily, but you're going to have it done. You take responsibility, and you make order. Let's say it's the woman making the order in the garage. And then the husband comes from work and sees everything in order, and he says, what did you do? Well, I made order in the garage. Who told you to make order in the garage? I told you that I was going to make order. What a lack of respect. You're pushy. Uh-huh. Do you see two people controlling to get? Oh, God. All right, where are we now? Renee, I think I know, but I have a problem with my fingers. My fingers tremble. Okay, where am I? Okay, Renee. Okay. So, we were there, now one more. I have a problem with my hands shake, so thank you for being patient. What is the focus of our mind, the intent of our mind? Selfish interest. Right? Remember when we were talking about selfishness the other? So we are driven by selfishness. Always in the road, in the path of fear, is the natural path. It's the path of how we are born, humanly speaking, and is ridden by selfishness. And the focus of the heart is emotional and sensual. Emotional means whatever I feel, whatever I want, and sensual desires. You know, oh, I want a big steak today. But sweetie, we talked already about we were going to maybe quit eating meat. I'm just giving an example, okay? But today I want a steak. But my love, can we be consistent? I don't care. Okay? All of a sudden we don't care. We change. Okay, let's see if I can move it to the next one. One more. In the road of fear, the ability to love is not there. And it only is not there, but it dies more and more. And we feel more discouraged as time goes by. In the relationships don't work, relationships with our children, with our spouse, with our members, the family, you know, the larger family. And we have the three R's. What are the three R's? Okay, we are going back to some of the things we already know, but we are reviewing them. Okay, now, in the path of love, instead of being closed because of fear and shame, how are we? Open. Have some of you experienced this week some type of openness that you didn't have before? Yes? How? How was it for you? How did you become open? Vinay, can you help with the microphone, please?
Well, I felt comfortable talking about things I don't open to the public. Okay. Like yesterday, seeing all the similarities, like with Renee's testimony, and it was just a lot of similarities.
Okay.
So I made comfortable, and you made me comfortable, and there's time to start letting it go for forever.
Okay. So. Do you remember when last night he shared some about his mom and all the rest? And see, that he comes out from his fear and shame. I think this one works better. And then our hearts are open to embrace our brother. Otherwise, we are all isolated, each one with our own fears and shames and stories. So in truth, do we love each other or not? We cannot love if we don't know. We can say, I love you, really. If you would only know. You raised your hand there. Were you more open? In which way? Renee, can you help me, please? Thank you.
I'm just speaking with Renee yesterday for a short time. I was able to open up my mind about speaking to my wife about my daughter. Uh-huh. As I guess I have a lot of shame and some of her choices, but I need to let that go. So I was able to just speak openly about some things with Christina this morning. It made me feel good.
Okay. That you were able to be honest with your wife?
Yeah.
Acknowledge your fears, your shame?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Christina, how did it make you feel when he shared with you?
I was a little surprised that he was sharing what he was sharing.
Okay, stop it right there, because you're going to say a but, and I don't want to go in a but. You know what we do? It was nice that he shared, but I doubt that he's going to change, or something like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, we need to be careful with criticism, or whatever it is, okay, Christina? We need to be thankful that a person opens up and say, Lord, how wonderful, and help us to keep on growing. Okay? We need to make the environment and our heart safe for another person to share. Because if your child shares, your teenager, your young adult, your spouse, the wife or the husband share something, and you do a but, and you criticize, and you challenge, what happens to the person? Shut down. Shut down. Okay? So we need to be very, very sensitive. So you become more receptive to be open. And the intention is to learn. Is it comfortable? Is it easy to do this? Oh, no. We are learning to walk and to feel and to talk and to pass through fear and shame to connect in a new way.
Share like that, you feel vulnerable. They see your weakness, and predators, yeah, like they see blood and they use that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, you always want to show strength.
Yes.
Now I understand.
And I want to tell you that no matter how people react to you when you do that, even if they criticize you or they say the butt or whatever, don't stop sharing, because that is changing you and you're becoming healthier. A more open, loving, joyful person, and sometimes after years, the other person changes too. So you don't do it to change people, you do it because you want to be transformed. You want to enter into that oneness with Jesus. Was Jesus open to love us? Did he experience rejection and abuse by doing so? Follow him. Learn from him. Okay, let there this mind be in you that was also in Jesus Christ, that he didn't take into account that he was God, but he set that aside, didn't hold on from it. And he was humble to become a human being. For us would be to become vulnerable, open, honest, to tell the truth, the reality of our heart, without expecting to be understood, without expecting to be loved, but doing it because it's the right thing to do. Okay? And so, and the intention for us is to learn. To learn how to love, to learn not to be hiding in fear and shame. Now, let me ask you something. Did Jesus have to learn too? Or did he know how to do this? Let's see how many of you have smartphones. And you can find, you can Google a verse that says something like this, that it pleased the Father to teach the Son obedience. He had to learn obedience. Let's see if you find something in your smartphones that is similar to that. Renee, are you helping? No? Okay. Anyhow, Jesus, as God, he was God. But as a human being, he needed to learn obedience. He needed to learn to suffer. He needed to learn not to quit and not to act out because of fear and shame. Okay? So did Jesus have to learn also? Yes. Okay. What's that? Would you please read it?
Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Wow.
He had to learn obedience. He had to learn to suffer lovingly, kindly, and not say, I fear the pain. I fear what they are doing. I'm ashamed. This humiliates me. They're taking my clothes. I'm nude in front of everybody. He kept on laughing. That's the model for us. That's the model for us. Okay. And, oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. But do it quickly when I get to the point. Okay, we are in love. Thank you, my love. There. And as a result, in this path of love, we choose from now on to take responsibility for which elements of our nature, new nature. Take responsibility of what? Your thoughts. And so you say, is this thought like God's thought, or is it the devil's thought? If it is not God's thought, what do we do? How do? We confess it. We confess it. We take it to Jesus. This is not your thought. And the Spirit will be there helping you to make these transactions. And you say, give me your thoughts. How do you want me to think about the brother? How do you want me to think about Renee, Lord? Give me your thoughts. Feelings. I don't care about the jerk, right? And the Lord will say, not that way, Alvin. See, he's cooperating with us. If we don't have this engagement of wanting to move from the road of selfishness and living dead with the devil, with the thoughts and the feelings, we'll never hear the Holy Spirit saying, not that way, my brother, this way. Engage the Holy Spirit. Want to forever do away with the old way and be born in the new path. Have a new life. New thoughts, new feelings, and then what is going to happen with your words? Half of what we used to say, we are not saying it. Maybe everything that we said before, we're not going to say it. Only what the Spirit gives us to say. And in the way and the tone and the gentleness and the love and the compassion. Or else, if it is not inspired by the Spirit, if it is not modeled by Jesus Christ, what do we have to do? give it to Jesus, confess it, repent, and do away with it. Okay? The same the actions. And of course, the consequences follow. The next one, Rene, please. What is the main core attitude that we need to have? Humility. To be changed, we need to be humble to admit what Revelation says, the message Jesus says to us, the last church. He says, oh, you think you're rich. You think you know the prophecies, that you keep the Sabbath, you don't work on the Sabbath, you dress pretty good, you give your tithes, some of you do, some don't. Anyhow, you appear pretty good, but you don't know that you're wretched and miserable and nude, right? How does it hit us? Does it feel good? What did Jesus said about himself? Of my own, I can do nothing. Can we say every day, of my own, I can do nothing? Can we say, I'm wretched and miserable, there is nothing good in me? Can we get to the point that looking at Jesus, so beautiful, and looking at ourselves, not looking at my husband or my husband looking at me, but looking at Jesus, receive that conviction from the Holy Spirit that says, oh, I am the chief sinner. See, when we look at the other person and we are criticizing the other person and seeing their faults, be it the spouse, be it the parents, be it their children, they are the ones that have the problem. But Jesus wants to come with his Spirit to get us to the point that we say, oh my God, I'm the chief sinner. Remember last Sabbath, the testimony got to the point when I said, who shall deliver me of this body of death? I was the chief sinner. Boy, that marked my life. So in humility, we repent from all our ways. And the Lord will keep on showing us here, there, there, this. Give it to me. Repent. Confess. Confess it to me. Confess it to your husband, to your wife, to your children, to your parents. And in that process, we are submitting to whom? To God, but not only submitting to a God in heaven, is submitting to a God that is here that wants to dwell in us. Abide in me, and I in him. And this is the path to abiding in God and God in us. The next one, Rene, please. So what is the focus of the mind? Is Jesus? Is truth? Is his principles? Is what is right? What we see that he is, we want to be. What he does, we want to do. We cannot do it, but we invite him to do it in us. And the focus of the heart, the intent of the heart, is to love God and to love others like God loves. Ain't that precious? It changes everything. It's not about me. It's about God and others.
Amen. We have a wonderful God. I'll tell you, when we really understand these principles, our lives changes. No doubt about it. And we enter into that relationship with Jesus that is so precious and so powerful. There was one more. The capacity to love and to grow keeps on helping us to become better people. We become humble, compassionate, generous, and courageous. She said, it's not better people, it's righteous people as Jesus is righteous. Okay. When Adam and Eve sinned, according to the Bible, God asked them to leave the Garden of Eden. Now, I don't know how you would have felt or I would have felt if I was there. You see, just picture for a moment, they had the most beautiful place in the whole earth. The Garden of Eden was a very, very precious place. It was their home. We have no idea how long they had been living before they sinned. not too long, but a good time. So they were enjoying their lives in that precious, secure place. And now they sin, and God comes and tells them that they have to leave. Now, exactly how that happened, we have some records in the Bible. I imagine that God, when he talked to them, he was not talking to them in an angry tone of voice. No. Possibly just put his arms around them and said, I'm so sorry, but you have to come out of the garden. And he let them out of the garden. Now, it's interesting what happened there, because if you remember, something happened really at the garden's gate. And that's what I'd like to share with you now. I want you to understand that what I'm going to share with you, you will not find it written out in the Bible. I believe that there is room for what I like to call a sanctify imagination. Would you like me to do a little bit of that today? I'm going to base it on the Bible, but then I'm going to share some things that very possibly happened there. Okay, and I think that is going to help all of us. Now, we have clear that God took them out of the garden. And I imagine he was not pushing them out. He was not hitting them out. He was just lovingly carrying them out. And I imagine God says things like, I love you with all my heart, but you cannot stay in the garden. He took them out. And I imagine the mind of Adam and Eve was confused, because when we sin, we're confused. Isn't that right? So they probably were thinking, what kind of a love is this one? We just ate one fruit, and he's taking us out. Why? Why? And so I like to base what I'll share with you in basically two verses. The Bible says that the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them, because they felt naked. Remember, they were fearful and ashamed because they felt naked. Now, let me ask you, those tunics of skin, which animal? Was it a bear? Which animal? Doesn't say there. He says, only tunics of skin. Anybody has an answer for this? In some churches, immediately somebody says, skin of a lamb. Why? Well, I agree. I believe that God made them tunics of skin of a lamb. Why? Because the Bible also says that the sons of Adam and Eve practice offering sacrifices of what? Of lambs. Look at what he says there. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. So, who taught them how to do that? Who taught them? God. So taking into account this passage where evidently God taught them how to offer a sacrifice, offer a lamb as a sacrifice, and the passage where God says that he made, the Bible says that God made tunics of skin for them, cover them. Taking these two things, let's see if we can try to imagine what possibly happened there. Can we do that now? So God is taking them out of the garden. He's trying to tell them about his love. Adam and Eve are confused in their mind because they have sinned. So their mind is affected by that new nature they have, selfishness and pride. Okay, so they are thinking possibly in their minds, he says he loves us, but look, he's just kicking us out of this place. And they come outside the garden, and then possibly, I'm just saying a possibility, God finally says, Adam, I'm going to explain to you something. I would like you to do it, to do something special for me. I'm going to teach you something. Adam, you see that rock over there? Can you bring it over here? And that rock over there, and I don't know exactly how they did it together, but possibly Adam and God put together an altar. And then God says, see those branches over there? Can you just break it and bring it and put it on top of the altar? And finally, the altar was, I imagine that Adam was wondering, what is this? And then God says something. He says, Adam, and you know, Adam loved his animals. He had put name to all the animals in the garden, right? So at that moment, possibly God points a finger and says, Adam, look over there. Look at that lamb that you see there. Could you please go and bring it? And Adam, obedient, goes and picks up the lamb. Maybe caresses the lamb as he's bringing it because he's so precious. And God says, put him on the altar. And he possibly puts it standing there. And God says, no, put it laying down. And he puts it laying down. And then I don't know what God possibly used, maybe a very rock, sharp rock, or maybe a pruning knife, I don't know. But God gave him something sharp. And now God tells Adam, Adam, I would like you to cut his throat. What? Cut his throat. Now, I don't know exactly how it was, but the Bible makes it clear that God taught them how to make sacrifices. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it, right? That was God's idea, not Adam's idea. So Adam had to learn from God, and God had to teach him how to do it. So I imagine that there was God teaching Adam how to do it. And I don't know how Adam would have gone through that, you know, looking at the lamb laying down there very peacefully, and he gets the knife, and a horrible idea. What is this? What am I going to do here? And finally God says, cut his throat completely. And maybe he even closes his eyes and he goes, vroom, and the blood comes out. All over. His body gets full of blood, and his hands, and the animal is shaking, uncontrollable, blood coming out of his mouth. And it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare for Adam. And finally the lamb is quiet. Doesn't move. What is this? And then he hears the voice of God that possibly says, Adam, go and get another lamb. Why? Why? What is this? What happened? Why? Adam, for your wife, go and get another lamb. And now Adam goes through this nightmare again. But this time, Eve is beside him. They're together. And they're seeing now the second lamb shaking and dying a horrible death. And they're so hurt by this, so confused. What is this? And finally, they feel the hug from Jesus. Because he was the God that was in the garden with them. The hug of Jesus very close to them. That says, Adam, Eve, these two lambs represent me. One day, I'm going to come as one of your children. And I'm going to die for your sin. I don't know exactly what happened, but if that was so, something like that happened, possibly Adam and Eve turned around and they fell at the feet of Jesus, hugging his feet and saying, Lord, is this what we have done to you? Is this what we have done to you? Please forgive me, Lord.
And
Jesus please forgive
to,
me.
Jesus had to explain that their sin would kill him. And they were the one that killed him. And that's for all of us. I don't know if you understand, if you have studied the sanctuary in its parts and the services, but in the history of the Jewish nation, they explain that when the sacrifice, a person was convicted of sin, and that conviction always comes through the Holy Spirit, it's God. And God is drawing us to confess that sin that is separating us from God. And so we come with the lamb in the old sanctuary service. But in truth, we come to Jesus now. Now in the old sanctuary service, when they put the lamb on the altar, the sinner put both hands on the head of the lamb and pressed as symbolically transferring his sins to the lamb until the head of the lamb was crushed. Do you understand the meaning of that? That Jesus was crushed because we crushed him with our sins. He willingly took it. But we must be willingly give our sins to him. He already was crushed. And now he says, wouldn't you come and give it to me? I want to deliver you. I want to set you free.
And the beautiful thing that we find is that the Bible makes it so clear. Look at this. 1 Peter 1, 19 and 20. Christ, the Lamb without blemish and without spot, sacrificed before the foundation of the world. That was a plan that was prepared by God, by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, before this world was created.
And it was hard for the Father to accept the offering of Jesus because Jesus offered himself to do this for us.
So there on the cross, I'm supposed to be dead. I should die for my sins. But you and I have the privilege of transferring our sins to Jesus. If we do that, he already died for my sins. And I am free from the guilt that we all have.
Folks, how do we transfer our sin to Jesus? What do we need to do? To confess. If we confess, it's to go to him and to say, thank you. But what does he hold us back from going to Jesus and confess our sins to him and to one another? What is it? Fear, shame, pride, and our nature says it's too hard. I cannot do it. And Jesus says, do it anyhow, and I'll set you free. I cleanse you. I make you mine. Do it anyhow.
Could I have a little more volume on this phone, on this micro, please? Thank you. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. That door is open for you and for me.
And Jesus says, I am the way, the life, the truth. So there's only one way. There has always been one way, but the devil took us in another way. And the Lord is calling us back. Follow me.
Choose life.
And learn.
Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven and the earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Isn't that beautiful? He's encouraging us, you and me, tonight. Choose life. Choose life.
In other words, choose me.
And then in Matthew, Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. We don't want to be those many. It would be horrible. So we need to really commit ourselves. Salvation is secure in Jesus. In Jesus. And we need to go through the narrow gate. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. But thank God we can be with a few, right? Isn't that wonderful that we can be with a few?
But not only we want to be in the narrow way with Jesus, we want others to come. But to be able to invite others and to be joyful and say, come with us, come with us. We need to experience walking this way. And we need to become open and share our testimony and not be afraid to say, I was there and the Lord took me from there.
And notice this, he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. No. No fear. Remember, two ways, two paths. Fear and love. No fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Oh, how beautiful we can be followers of Jesus Christ, having power, love, and a sound mind.
And this is not an easy transaction, but as we understand, we say, Lord, that's what I want. And we persevere, and we press on, and we are being transformed from glory to glory, from day to day. And today may be that you are in a dark moment, in a situation where you said, I can hardly understand this. How many of you say, I can hardly understand what you're talking about? Do you find yourself saying that or feeling that? Anyone? But you know what? If you keep on eating of this and talking of this and searching this, it's like the sun rises up in the morning and first it's just a few rays and then it's more and more of the sun until the noonday, and that is Jesus in us. A total transformation. Beloved, he says, come on, let us love one another. I am love. Love is from me. And all of you, if you're willing to love the way I love, you're born of me. And then you really know me because you have me inside of you.
Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
And that labor and are heavy laden means those of you that are dead and selfish and fearful and shameful and fighting, and give it to me. Give it to me. And the devil would say it's too hard. No, it's not hard. He lies to you. Because he works on your feelings and your emotions. He says, I cannot do this. He's a liar. Jesus is on your side. He gives you the power, the ability, everything. And when you step up to the other side, freedom. If Jesus set you're free indeed.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are just sharing a few passages that are so precious. I do hope you have them underlined in your Bible and written in your heart, because this, we can live by these passages. We can repeat them every day.
And we can pray them. We can say, Lord, here I come. oh man, I'm so selfish, totally selfish. And I was selfish again with my husband. I'm so sorry, Lord. I don't want that. I give you my selfish nature. Would you give me your nature? And I know that you are faithful. You are just. You forgive me. You die for me. And not only you forgive me, you cleanse me from my selfishness, from my pride, from the way I control or get angry, whatever.
And in Romans, we find Apostle Paul saying that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to their flesh, but according to their spirit.
So you pray and talk to Jesus and say, Lord, I again work on the flesh, and I just talk the way I shouldn't to my daughter or to my son. Lord, forgive me. And you go and ask forgiveness of your son and says, thank you, Lord, because you don't condemn me. Because you know that I don't want to walk in the flesh, but I'm still weak and I fall, but you tell me to look at you and to confess, and that you lift me up and you give me more and more of your righteousness. Do you realize how beautiful it is?
And then we can live in the security of salvation. We can be secure of our salvation if we go to Christ every day. He gives us assurance of salvation, and it's beautiful to live with the assurance of salvation. We have one more passage. It says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and he who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Have we gone to Jesus? How many times do we have to go to Jesus?
Constantly, all the time. Tonight, before we close, is there anyone that wants to say tonight, I never really gave my whole heart to the Lord my whole life. I never understood. I'm just following from afar, but I'm holding back. And tonight, I truly want to give my life, my heart, my mind to Jesus, thankful for his sacrifice, thankful that he's able to cleanse me and transform me. I want him to do that. Anybody here would like to say, I want to give my heart to Jesus? If you had not done it completely.
So evidently we all have given our hearts to Jesus, right? And that's wonderful. How many of us would like to give it again tonight? And say, Lord, I give you my heart again tonight. Oh, how precious, how precious. We all are doing that.
I would like to say something. How many of you may consider that you may have been fooling yourself, that you have given your whole heart to the Lord, but you know that you have not? Because you're not walking in the Spirit. You're doing a lot of pretending. And the Lord is calling you out. Not signaling you out, calling you out and saying, would you give me your heart?
There are thousands of things that may keep our heart divided. You know what I mean by divided? Things that the Lord don't want us to have, and we cherish them, we want them. And we sense that, yeah, we're going this way, but the Lord wants me to go that way, but at times I go this way. And it's a struggle. And maybe you want to reaffirm your dedication to Jesus, your heart toward Jesus. And if you want to do that, right there where you are, would you raise your hand? Amen, amen, amen. How beautiful. How beautiful. Because we need to be very honest. And we all have struggles. There are moments in which we have this pulling in our hearts from a direction that is not God's.
What do you, turn around. You can face the family. What do you want to say?
I want to open my heart
to Jesus.
Yes.
What do you want to ask him?
Not just for forgiveness, but for everything.
And you want him to come in you and live in you?
Yes.
You want to give your heart fully to him?
Yes.
I just praise God. Yes. I just praise God because this is a miracle. You know, you have been precious. You are precious to Jesus. Jesus has been with you. But I'm sure that you feel that you have been resisting him somewhere, yeah. Some places, right?
Yeah.
Anybody else that means that you have been resisting too and disobeying him? Which means you have not given your heart totally to him, right? Anybody else? Okay. Dear Lord, thank you. Because you have spoken to this child of yours. And without fear, without shame, she comes and said, I want to give you my heart. I want to open my heart to you. And Lord, you promise that those that come to you, you don't cast them out.
Amen, Lord.
But you rather come in. And you say in Revelation that those that open their hearts,
amen,
you come in and sup with them. That means you will feast with her. You will give her of yourself. Yes. Of your thoughts, of your feelings, of your power, of your spirit. Yes. Yes. You'll give her everything that is of you.
Amen, Lord.
And you will abide in her more and more from glory to glory. Do this for her and use her also as a minister to encourage others, even as she learns to walk this way. Thank you, Lord, for anointing her. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen, amen, Lord, amen.
God bless you, sweetie. God bless you. Okay, we close.
This is our closing time. Before we have the final prayer, I'd like to say that tomorrow we'll be here for the sermon, 11 o'clock, and that will be our last message, but not our last time with you, because at 5 o'clock, in the afternoon, we'll begin our final celebration. Okay, so plan to be here, and we are going to enjoy a time together. It's going to be something a little different in the evening. Don't miss it. It's going to be very, very special. Okay?
It will be powerful.
So we are inviting you to tomorrow morning. If you can be here at 9:30, that'll be best, because that's when we have the Sabbath school. And then at 11, we'll have the message, and we'll be sharing with Alvi our story, the last part of our story, okay? And in the afternoon, we'll have that celebration, the final celebration.
We'll share just one more chapter of our story.
Yeah.
And if the time runs out, we'll move it to finish in the afternoon, okay? All right. So let us pray.
Let's pray.
Dear Lord, I want to thank you again that you have ushered us into the sacred hours, the restful hours, in which you want us just to give you everything, that there nothing will be between you and us. And Lord, you also invite us that there will not be anything between us and others. And tonight, as we go to our homes, do protect us, guide us, speak to us, impress us with the question, the prayer that says, Lord, what do you want me to do? With whom do I need to make things right? And speak, Lord. We want to be like Mary that said, whatever you want to do, Lord, do with your servant as you please. So we want to hear you. Like Samuel heard you when he was a little boy. Make us like little children. And may our rest tonight be wonderful. And if we cannot sleep for some reason, may we commune with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen.
God bless you. Have a good night.